It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
You heard the gentleman, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you, as always, are Giants fans, Big Blue Nation out there, tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live like you do every Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10:30. We are here for you throughout the entire season. You can call into the show, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Also, all things social media. Follow us on Twitter at Giants, and if you have a comment, a question for the show, make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat. We monitor Twitter throughout the show. We will share your questions, or I should say we will answer your questions, and we will share your thoughts.
This is true.
Hi, Paul Dottino.
Hello, Anita. How are you?
I will say this. I did a hit on a Tampa/Orlando radio station as I made my way in this morning because they wanted to talk about the Dallas Giants game. And the first thing I said to him is, I woke up this morning and I felt like it was Christmas morning. I had a little bit more pep in my step today. My eggs and sausage and tater tots tasted a little bit better this morning. My coffee tastes, I mean, today is the first day of the NFL regular season. Later on tonight, Denver in the Baltimore Ravens. I am a kid in a coffee, in a candy store.
I've been that way since Monday. Because it began week one for me. You know, that was the first day of practice. And, in fact, you know, I think that as we build to these kickoffs, first tonight for the NFL and then for the Giants coming up on Sunday Night Football, there's kind of like a regeneration of that excitement because there are kind of like three opening days. There's tonight, then there's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and then, of course, for the Giants, there's the Sunday night game at 8:30.
Right.
So there's kind of like three opening days in the same week. You know what I mean?
No. Kind of. Oh, of course.
You know, so this is like really pumped up now.
Yeah. So we're pretty stoked about it. Hopefully you are as well. We're taking your calls throughout the show. So again, you've got the Baltimore Ravens. Now, you know the story there. You know, Baltimore, for folks that have not been to Baltimore, the Orioles and the Ravens kind of share a parking lot.
Yes.
There's Camden Yards and M&T Bank Stadium are right next to each other.
That's where your statue is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me next to Johnny U. So, and soon to be Ray Lewis. So they share a parking lot, so they can never have a game. The Orioles can never play a game at the same time the Ravens are playing a game. Well, because the Ravens won the Super Bowl, typically the team that wins the Super Bowl kicks off the season at home on Thursday night, the first game of the season. Well, the Orioles have a game that night, and they were not willing to reschedule their game, Paul. So mm-hmm. That's why the Ravens are on the road tonight at Denver. And I'll tell you what, first of all, right off the bat, I think Denver just annihilates the Ravens in this game. I think it's even 10 times worse than the fact that they have to play on the road at Denver, and they're the Super Bowl champions.
And I think it's interesting that the Orioles apparently offered some type of Super Bowl ceremony to the Ravens people.
And they declined.
And they said, guess what? We don't have enough time. We can't fit it into our schedule.
Right.
So sorry, but we won't be there.
Oh, what a mess. What a mess. So anyway, so you're absolutely right. So that kicks off the season. And then, of course, we've got some great 1 o'clock games and 4 o'clock games that are taking place. And then Sunday night, the big stage, the bright lights. This is it. Giants kick off the season in Big D at Jerry's Dome in Dallas. And guys practiced yesterday. Hopefully you went on to Giants.com and listened to what the players had to say after practice. Two things that I walked away with. Number one, I did have a chance to talk to running back David Wilson. And I asked him, I said, listen, you know, no Andre Brown. the depth chart right now going into this game is David Wilson, Darrell Scott, and Michael Cox. So that screams to me a lot of David Wilson, even on third and long. And, I mean, he was as cool as a cat. He had a smile ear to ear. He is so excited for this game. He said he's not nervous. He's excited. He loves football. This is what he loves to do. He can't wait to get out there and show them, show everybody what he can do. He's excited to get the start. He just, you know, for a second-year guy with this much, and I will say it's pressure. Listen, there's only 32 starting running backs in the world, and David Wilson's one of them. This is his second year in the NFL. Cool. Just real cool, real calm, real excited. I liked what I got out of David Wilson yesterday. Do you think he's going to have success against the Dallas Cowboys running the ball, Paul?
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay because, quite honestly, I think that the Dallas defense, their new 4-3, is going to have some trouble the first couple of weeks getting themselves together. I will tell you this. I went back and I looked at David Wilson's college numbers because he was telling people all week he's not afraid to carry the ball as much as they need him to. He'll carry it 30 times a game if the coach calls his number.
Right.
So I figured, let me go back and look at his college stats and find out exactly what they say. And when he was a senior at Vodtech, he carried the ball an average of 21 times a game. And that was his career high. Had never carried the ball all that much his first 3 years there. So 30, that may be a little bit much, but it would not be foreign to him to carry the ball 20 to 25 times in Dallas on Sunday night. That's not asking too much. He has done that before, 2 years ago as a senior in school. So I'm not surprised that you would say to me that he's calm, cool, collected, and ready to go.
I liked what I saw from him yesterday. Also, I had a chance to talk to Victor Cruz. So I pulled Victor aside after the scrum,
yeah,
as we like to call it in the media. And I said, seriously, you know, how are you feeling? How's the foot? He says, I feel great. He's like, obviously, you know, I got to get the clearance on Friday, but I feel really good. Hopefully I'll have an opportunity to play. So I said to him, I said, so hypothetically speaking, if I owned you on four of my fantasy football teams, would it be safe to say to play you? And he said, isn't this illegal?
Did he say that?
Victor says to me, isn't this illegal?
Oh, I love
There's
it.
Something illegal about this.
I
this
love
isn't
it.
Right. This isn't fair.
I love it.
And he was really funny.
Very cool.
I said, yes, this is insider trading. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
This is why I get paid the small bucks. So anyway, it was a good feel in the locker room. I'm excited. I'm excited about this team. I'm excited about this game. And you could get a sense when we were in the locker room yesterday, Paul, that these guys are really cannot wait to go beat up on someone else.
It's time. Justin Tuck himself said, hey, it's great for opening day anyway because you finally get a chance to kick off the season. But how much is it enhanced by going to Dallas,
right,
where we know they hate us and we really don't like them anyway? And every time the Giants play there, it's a great game.
Right.
So, come on.
Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, as I said, you are a part of the show. 201-939-4513. We'll take your calls with you till 10:30 this morning. But we have a great announcement here. Every Thursday, a gentleman by the name of Eric Kennedy is going to join us. Now, he's the owner of Big Blue Interactive. Yes, I know you know that site because you guys are all over it. It's one of the best Giants fan sites out there. So Eric's going to join us every Thursday to give us a good sense of how the fans are feeling about the upcoming matchup each and every week. And I believe we have him on the line right now. Let's bring him in, Eric Kennedy. Eric, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're excited to have you be a part of the show.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here. Your enthusiasm is infectious, so this is great.
Eric, what are the trends that you're seeing on the site these last couple of days? Are people more concerned about the Giants' injuries, or are they more concerned about who Dallas may or may not play? Everybody knows about Anthony Spencer, who's a big part of their D.
I think it's more on the Giants. I think, you know, there's concerns about the injuries, but beyond the injury situation, I think, you know, the fans tend to focus on the things that concern them the most. They don't really tend to talk about the positive issues, more about the negative issues. So, you know, the discussions on the website have been more on the offense and defensive issues that we've seen in the preseason and we may have seen in previous seasons, and, you know, we can talk about that a little bit more. But, you know, obviously the injury situation at running back and then on the offensive line is a concern for many fans.
Don't you find that interesting? I find that on Twitter, just all things social media, there's a bunch of negative Nellies out there. right?
Well, yeah, I think it's cathartic for fans to discuss the negative. I found that over the years that we get a lot more traffic after a loss than we do after a win. And I think it's, you know, people are looking to commiserate with other fans, and they if they discuss it, they feel better a few days later. And I really think that's the case. So, and Giants fans, God bless them, they're some of the most intelligent fans out there, but we do tend to be a little bit negative. So we do tend to focus on the things that concern us. And I think fans realize this is a good team, that we have a chance to do some good things this year. But there are some worries on defense and on offense that are legitimate. And I think that's where the focus has been this offseason. And because this team has been so inconsistent the last few years, either it's been Super Bowl or bust, that inconsistency has filtered down to the fans, and they're worried about that inconsistency. This opening game, I see a lot of people saying, I have no idea what to expect from this team. I've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of messages about saying, what are we going to see from the Giants this year? And I think it's a great question, so we'll start getting some answers in a few days.
Again, Eric Kennedy joining us, owner of Big Blue Interactive, going to be with us every Thursday morning to talk about what the fans are feeling out there. Now, one thing that I get asked, and especially on Twitter, I have a lot of Giants fans out there very, very concerned about Hakeem Nicks. And this is what I've been telling them, Eric. I've been telling them, listen, this is a guy who's in a contract year. He hasn't been able to play a full 16-game schedule his entire career. This is the year that not that he wants to do it, he needs to do it in order to get that really big paycheck at the end of the season, on top of the fact that being on the field, the number one wide receiver for Eli Manning, the stats and the touchdowns and the yardage that he can potentially put up is enormous. I don't have any concerns for Hakeem Nicks. I think he's just been cautious, but there's so many fans out there that are really concerned about his productivity going into this season. What are you telling them?
Well, I think that there is a valid concern there. I share your hope, because what I think you're saying is what a lot of fans are hoping is he's basically being careful, and that's what we're hoping. But, you know, he's been fragile over the years. He's never been able to complete a full season, and there's concerns about his feet and his legs. He seems always to have injuries in the lower half of his body. So, he didn't look right this preseason. So the optimist half-full person will say, well, he's taking it easy. He knows it's a contract year. He just doesn't want to get hurt. But he and Eli certainly don't look like they're on the same page in the preseason. They had that nice hook up in the end zone in the final preseason game against the Patriot backups. So maybe they're going to start to turn it on. I get the sense, listening to him in the interviews on Giants.com, that he's, that's what you're saying, Anita, that he's basically been being careful. And that's what I'm hoping that's going on. I think the bigger issue than him, and I'm a big Eli Manning fan, is Eli hasn't looked 100% in the preseason. I'm not talking from a health standpoint, but he, and again, the preseason doesn't matter all that much, but he hasn't looked particularly sharp. And I think that's a concern with many fans out there as well, too, that, the good news is when he goes down to Dallas, he tends to have some of his best games. I don't know if it's something about the air down there or whatever, but he tends to play very well in Dallas. So hopefully he turns it on, but he hasn't looked particularly sharp.
Well, Eric, I'll be honest with you. I've seen Eli Manning have a number of poor training camps and preseasons for him. And, of course, you have to raise the bar for this guy because he is who he is. Yes. I would not worry about that, okay? Honestly, when the light goes on, Eli Manning's going to be ready. He's going to have a really good year, I promise you that. I want to ask you one thing, though, about your trends, because the Giants had a lot of turnover on this roster this year. From the draft picks, Pugh, Moore, obviously Michael Cox has been very exciting on kickoff returns, and then a guy like Cullen Jenkins has come in and had a really big impact during the preseason. Who's the one guy who you seem to see is the magnet of the new Giants that your Big Blue message board people want to see?
Well, it depends on what, side of the ball the fans tend to focus on. I think that people are very excited about the guy that has played the least, and that's DeMontre Moore. We get a lot of, when's he going to practice? When's he going to be back? That type of thing. He's a guy that I actually don't think we'll see a lot in the preseason. I mean, sorry, the regular season, especially early on, because he's been hurt, because he's a rookie, because they have so much depth at that position. But that's a guy, because he flashed so early on in that preseason game in Pittsburgh, that's the one guy that a lot of people talk about. They want to know when he's going to practice, that type of thing. So, but you know, I think the guys that are going to have the most direct impact are who you're talking about. I think, you know, Cullen Jenkins is going to be a huge addition to this team, not just from a productivity on the field standpoint, but I think he has a certain attitude to the defense. He seems to bring a leadership aspect to the team, to the defense, a toughness to the team that I think that's going to really help them. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I think one of the guys that we're all sort of very curious to see how he's going to play is James Brewer. Now he got a chance to play at left guard against the backups in the Patriots, and he looked pretty good at left guard. He struggled at left tackle. But he wasn't out there against Vince Wilfork or any of the other starters on the Patriots. And he's a guy that you got to think Dallas is, you know, they know he's going to be in there. They're probably going to dial up some blitzes, some stunts to test him. And, of course, Justin Pugh's out there too. So I think a lot of Giants fans know this offense is very good, but it can only go as far as the offensive line takes them. So in terms of the new guys, there's excitement about the new guys, but there's also a little bit of leeriness because they are so inexperienced that they're a little bit worried about. So there's been a lot of discussion on how is Justin Pugh going to do at right tackle, how is James Brewer going to do at left guard.
Fantastic. Eric, great stuff, and we're really excited to have you be a part of the show each and every Thursday.
Oh, thank you for the great opportunity to come on. Thank you, guys.
All right, go Big Blue.
Go Big Blue.
Okay. Again, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Again, as I always say, show is not complete without Lynn in Maryland.
Actually, your Thursday shows are now not going to be complete without Eric. That's a nice gig. That's a nice gig for him, and I think a nice addition to the show. I guess the format is what's trending on the site. Is that where you're going with that?
Well, you know, we want to bring.
Great idea.
Well, we want to bring, you know, Eric in because obviously he's owner of Big Blue Interactive, and it is the best Giants fan site out there. And so, you know, we feel that he really is the consensus, the voice of the fans, because he's monitoring that.
You know,
site.
Len, a lot of people are shy and they don't actually want to make the phone call. They're thinking things and they'll post them, but they won't make the phone call. So hopefully he'll be able to give us a wrap up on that. Now, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, excellent. I just want to say I go back a long way with Eric, so, and he's a good guy, and things are working out for him, and it's really terrific. Well, I had a nice question for him. I thought maybe I was going to get on with Eric, but Paul, if I can, and Anita, please also, chirp in here and let me know what you think. You know, I want to kind of pin you down a little bit, Paul. What do you think of this team, Paul? I mean, we got 53. Let's go to 56. Maybe Kuhn gets back. Maybe Andre Brown gets back. And there's one other guy hanging out there, Will Hill. You know, so if we look at this 56-man roster, you know, what do you think, Paul?
I finally decided 10-6 and they'll win the division because I do think that RG3 is not going to last, and that's why the Redskins will not win it.
Wow, you were ready for my question. I like your answer, by the way. I'll take any number of wins that wins the division, but you like this team. I mean, you think it's players.
Look, I didn't say 12-4 now. I really like this team. If I told you 12-4. I'm not going there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm saying 11, but I'll take 10 in the division for sure.
Just remember 10 wins did not get a playoff spot a few years ago. You know,
I mean,
that's the tricky part about all this. You know, you think that they're a playoff team, and then 9 wins get you in some years, 9 wins doesn't other years, and then the same thing for 10. It's almost like you got to win 11 to make sure you're going to get in. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Has Anita made her pick yet? I mean, has she come down on the number yet?
I have not, and I find it interesting. Right. Listen, I've said this before, Lynn, I'm sure you've heard me say this because you listen to the show all the time. And I feel the NFC East is the most competitive division in all professional sports. And I look at the four teams, and this is pretty much how I break them down. I think if the Washington Redskins, if RG3 does stay healthy, I think the Redskins win the division. I think the Giants are really going to have to battle it out to make it to the playoff in that wild card spot. But again, contingent on if RG3 can stay healthy. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's not going to stay healthy. I don't want to do that, like what Paul just did. But I think that's a big if. Now, I think the big question mark in this division is the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, I'm probably more excited about that Eagles-Washington Redskins Monday Night Football game than any other game that's on the schedule this week, because we don't really know what Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles are bringing to the table.
Right.
You know, coaches, they don't show you what they're really going to do in preseason. You know, an average football team, maybe they, 70 on offense? What do they run, 70 offensive plays a game? They're looking to run 100. They're looking to, not only are they looking to go no huddle, they're going no huddle, like high octane. Like, I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
To see how
it is going to be interesting
to see how defenses are we can't sit here and say Philadelphia doesn't have a chance. We don't know, because we don't know exactly what offense they're going to bring to the table, and we don't know if defense are going to be able to stop it. So the one team that I'm not feeling is the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not feeling them. I think it's going to really quick, Lynn. I think it's going to come down to the Washington Redskins and the Giants. I think they're going to be battling out to win that division. I think one of them win it, the other one goes in as the wild card.
There you go. You got time for one more comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for the analysis, both Anita and Paul. I appreciate that. And I didn't mean to pin you down on that, because I knew either today or very quickly you were probably going to give me the number of games that you had. But thanks a lot for that. Picked up an article, USA Today, yesterday, a quote around Barry Cofield and, quote, how upset Barry is and the Redskins are about what the league did and strapping the Redskins last year, coming down hard on Mr. Snyder. And, he's going to take it out on the Giants. They're going to use this as motivation. I just want to suggest to Barry on air, and I hope he's listening, that maybe he needs to go and talk to Mr. Snyder and ask Mr. Snyder why he cheated on his business partners. You guys have a good day.
Thanks,
Lynn.
We'll
talk again. Go Giants.
Okay.
Okay, there's not much I could say about that.
So
I think the league went through the process and decided that Dallas and Washington had to pay a penalty because of what they did with the cap, and so be it. That's water under the bridge.
So you don't think RG3 is going to be able to stay? We don't even, Paul, you don't even know what style of offense Washington's going to run in regard to RG3. I don't think he's going to come out and play the same style of football that he did when he got injured. I just don't see that happening.
Well, I would say this to you, Anita. I don't believe that a leopard could change his spots overnight. And because he has not played any preseason games, I think that's to his detriment, because I think he's going to try to be as instinctive as possible early, because he's going to want to be comfortable. He's going to want to test the knee. He's going to want to prove that he is RG3. And I think that he's probably going to force things, and it's not going to bode well for him. I also believe that the Redskins clearly succeeded last year because of that very fact and what he was and what he is. Now, I did see some quotes from him yesterday, and it's the first time I've seen these quotes from RG3, and that is he's going to start sliding more because he realizes it's the smart thing to do and he can't take as many hits as he was taking before. So he is cognizant of the fact that he's got to change his game. I just don't think you could just do that by stepping onto the field for the first time against Philadelphia on Monday night and expect that to happen in a heartbeat. I think that takes time to do. And, you know, I think it's miraculous that he's able to come back from significant ACL surgery like he has. I'm rooting for him. I think he's a terrific player. Last year, I told you in the springtime, he's going to be the NFL Rookie of the Year. I absolutely stand by that. And, great, but after what's happened to him and after the shots I saw him take, and by the way, before he hurt his knee last year, do you remember he got knocked out of a game with a concussion? Got smashed along the sidelines and had to come out of a game. So it's not just the knee we're talking about now. This is a guy who has taken hits. I'm telling you, he is not going to be 100% for 16 games. Whether or not he misses a few games, that may be debatable, but he is not going to be right. And as a result, the Redskins will not win this division.
Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to Christian in Long Island. Christian, welcome.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. I just had a few questions. I wanted to know your opinion and your take. Obviously, David Wilson is extremely dynamic, and I feel like he gives us the best chance at kickoff returner. Michael Cox did show a little something, but you can't argue the field position we got with David Wilson versus Cox. What do you think is going to be the end result? Who wins that job? were the majority of the opportunities back there.
It's not about who wins the job. There's no competition here. The Giants wanted to find out if anybody could do the job adequately so that they could get David Wilson off of kickoff returns and allow this guy to concentrate on being a running back. And they found a guy who could do it. Michael Cox is a fully capable kickoff return guy. They've seen that. They've seen the big plays. They've seen speed. They've seen power. They've seen solid hands back there as well. So he's the guy. It's just that simple. He could do the job. So why risk David Wilson? This isn't about a competition.
I mean, I understand, but yes, I've seen him break a few, but do you really get the feeling that he's going to break one any time that he touches it, like when you see David Wilson run?
Absolutely, I do. No question about it. Michael Cox is a very dynamic player. Tremendous speed for a man his size, and he's got strength. I think Michael Cox is probably going to break one before the year is out.
Well, I definitely hope you're right. I definitely don't want to count him out, and I actually do like him. I'd like to see what he can contribute, especially getting his pass blocking up so he can get some time and reps in there. You mind if I ask another question or two?
Sure.
I wanted to know your opinion. What do you think if, you know, Knicks has never really been healthy, as you guys have touched on, and unfortunately we're all aware of. Do you think this is his last season if Randall emerges?
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think that the Giants have planned their finances out to try to keep both Cruz and Knicks. We all know that Cruz is back in the fold, and they've got a plan in place to try to keep Akeem Knicks. Ultimately, the number one reason a player stays put is because he wants to. Because, let's face it, a guy of Akeem Knicks's talent, if he has the kind of year we think he's going to have, could easily go in the open market and probably command more dollars than what the Giants are going to be able to give him. But they will be able to give him a fair deal. They will give him a fair offer. They will construct it properly. They will entice him with all kinds of other things like, hey, you know you're in New York. You know what kind of star you can be. You know you're playing with Eli. You know you're playing with Victor. There will be a lot of other ancillary reasons for them to push towards Akeem Knicks to try to get him to stay. But ultimately, it's going to be what's in his heart. If he decides that he's just going to take the highest bidder, then he'll probably leave. Or if he decides that he really doesn't want to be here, he'll leave. But the Giants will make an honest and serious attempt to give him a fair deal and to bring him back. Okay?
201-939-4513. Before we go to our next caller, I do want to talk about the backfield. As I said when we started the show, heavy dose of David Wilson, Jarrell Scott, number two running back. I mean, this is a guy that we weren't sure was going to even make the roster after training camp. I mean, this is a guy who last year, you know, was not very impressive. So now this is, I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity for Jarrell Scott to come in. And I know he's got a lot of fans who listen to the show and they call in. Of course, he played for the Terrapins. But, I mean, this is a big opportunity for him, Paul.
You know, the one thing that you can't teach is speed. You can go to a speed school and enhance your speed, maybe just a tad, but there is little question that Darrell Scott is very, very fast. It is the primary reason why Jerry Reese decided to draft him a couple of years ago. Now, I'm also going to tell you, I think that's probably the only reason that he's still here, is because he is lightning quick, and the Giants are enamored with that. Because based on the resume that he's put forth to this point, there's not a whole lot of substance there. He hasn't had a lot of chances, but even when he's been in the games, he hasn't done all that well. This is a great opportunity, Anita, and he's obviously going to have he's got to get it done. That's the bottom line, or it's going to be a short stay.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Michael in Jersey City. Michael, welcome.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi.
I have two questions. One was, how is the health of Henry Hanoski, and is there a likelihood we'll see him on Sunday?
I actually had a chance to talk to Henry Hanoski yesterday. I actually pulled him aside and said, so tell me, are you going to play? And he said he hopes he plays. He feels good. He wants to play. But again, those decisions are going to be made by the New York Giants medical staff, and those decisions will be made on Friday, not only with Henry Hanoski, but with JPP and Victor Cruz as well.
Right.
So, but he feels great. He's, you know, he's, you know, but he's, Henry's such a great young man. you know, he wants to play, but he trusts this coaching staff, and he trusts this medical staff, and he said he's leaving it in their hands. So we'll know on Friday, but he feels he's ready to go.
Okay. And the second question was about Kyle Bosworth going to the Cowboys. My concern there is, and I don't know how they do it in preseason, but how much of the defensive playbook has Kyle seen? I know he's a rookie, but what could he help the Cowboys with in terms of, you know, as we were talking about earlier, the changes on the offensive line, what the tendencies are for Brewer or for Pugh, giving them little insights that normally they may not pick up on film or through scouting reports that they have?
Well, first of all, he's not a rookie. He's been around for a while. He played with the Jaguars for several years before the Giants signed him as a free agent. But he was only here with the Giants for a few months. There's no doubt that he knows some of what they're going to try, and I'm sure that Dallas has picked his brain. In fact, they've admitted as much. But, come on, this is all about execution. Tom Coughlin will tell you time and time again, it's about making sure that you do every little thing right. You make a mistake, you self-destruct. That's really what the game comes down to. It's self-inflicted wounds. If the Giants call exactly the plays that Kyle Bosworth has told the Cowboys they're going to call, it won't matter provided the Giants execute correctly. And that's really the bottom line here.
Okay. Well, thank you both, and I hope we have a good day on Sunday.
All right, take care.
Your thoughts going into this game, what's the one major concern for Paul Dottino as the Giants get ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys? What's the one area main concern for you?
I would say DeMarcus Ware, because he's a one-man wrecking crew who can change the course of a game in a heartbeat, not just with a sack, but with a forced fumble and a caused turnover. He'll be going up against William Beatty for the most part. Tom Coughlin said during the preseason, Dallas did not flop him to the other side. So whether or not Justin Pugh has to go mano a mano against Ware remains to be seen. But the Giants are expecting him to go against Beatty throughout the course of the night. Will Beatty had a terrific year last season, only was responsible for three sacks. Did well.
But if you're Dallas and you're the defensive coordinator and you know the Giants are coming to the game with a rookie tackle and you have a defensive lineman who can rush from both sides of the line.
You would think, right?
Why would you not put Ware
on inclined to agree with you.
Right.
But the one caveat here that makes me think that Tom could be right is that they are installing a new defense. On the other side,
they went from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
Correct.
Right.
On the other side, they're using George Selvey as their starting defensive end, who's been on practice squads for 5 years in this league, I think, or 3 years in this league. In fact, he even had a tryout with the Giants. He's really a nondescript player. And I don't know if they necessarily, already knowing that two-fourths of their D-line are out between Spencer, who may play but limited, Ratliff, who's not available because he's on PUP, they're already really depleted along that D-line. Do you want to start fussing around schematically knowing that you're already not at full strength? I don't know. I could see where a coach might be a little wary about doing that. So I think Tom has a good point. It is possible they'll just line Ware up against Beatty and say, have at it, see what you can do. I think that's possible. It's a guessing game. It's a chess match. They may flop him. They may take a shot at it. But they've already got enough to handle right now as the Cowboys trying to deal with, A, a new system, and, B, a D-line that's missing half its guys. I don't know. But nonetheless, DeMarcus Ware, at any given time, you could block him 30 plays in a row, Anita, and on play 31, he can wreck you. So you're asking me about my worry? Him.
Let's go to Owen in New York. Owen, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. I have a couple questions. My first question, I wasn't listening to this show, so I don't know if anybody asked or what, because I haven't been on the show recently, but I just want to know, do you guys think the Giants are ready for week one against the Cowboys? Like, do you think they're ready to play?
Well, I mean, you know, that's kind of a loaded question, because I don't know
how many teams are really ready.
Tell me.
Let's throw this into the equation as well, and that is, keep in mind, this new collective bargaining agreement and what the players agreed to in regard to the number of OTAs and how much training camp, how many practices they have, pads, no pads. I mean, they worked out a deal that yes, I feel they feel very strongly benefits them. But at the same time, does it really give them the adequate amount of time and preparation to be ready for the season? I don't think it does. And I think if Tom Coughlin was on this show, he would wholeheartedly agree with us. So I don't believe that any of the 32 teams are really ready for regular season game one. But this is they all have to abide by the same rules. So they're all in the same boat.
Bingo.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I mean, I don't think any of these teams are really, I think this is going to be like, you know what I would love to do? I would love to find out the stat out of all the games that are going to be played starting tonight and into the end of Monday night. How many offensive plays start off with a handoff up the gut? Let's just, I'd go so far to say 85% of the first plays on offense are going to just be like a 32 dive.
Yeah, probably. I think like, you make a good point.
Let's get the first play off. Let's let the butterflies subside and let's work our way into this.
And there are two other reasons for that. First of all, if you go back to pass, as they say, two out of three things are bad that can happen. You could get a sack, you could get a holding penalty. Simple dive. What could go wrong other than fumbling the ball?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a great question.
And who wants to start off the season with a bad play on the first snap?
I mean, it's a great question. I just don't think the Giants are in this boat alone. I think all 32 teams are, and I don't think it's anything that the Giants aren't doing properly. I just think it's because of the new collective bargaining agreement.
Is that a prop bet in Vegas, by the way?
What? How many?
How many run plays are going to start the season?
I guarantee you it is.
I think?
There are so many crazy bets. I guarantee you that there's over under. How many first plays on offense out of all the 32 teams are a running play?
Wow. I'll leave that up to you to find out.
Okay. Let's continue with our calls. Stephanie, calling in from Maryland. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's been a long time. But you can call me the Twitter troublemaker.
I like it.
I just want to talk about the week one matchup with the Cowboys. Now, I'm going to break it down like this. I know Nixon Cruz, I'm not 100%, which that's one concern for me. However, our running backs, now let me sound like my inner Stephen A. Smith on this one. I've been high on Darrell Scott all year long, and I've been high on David Wilson. And with those, the speed of those two running backs, their game-breaking speed, they remind me of those two guys in Carolina, Williams and the other boy, Double Trouble. If they can play up to the level that I think they're capable of, and Darrell Scott being a D.C. native and a Redskin fan, and you know he got Cowboy blood hating him. Hate blooded and stuff. They could wear down the Cowboys' defense with that running game. We must throw the ball to Brandon Myers over the middle to get something done. We got to free up Nixon Cruz, throw the Cowboys' defense on. Because after looking at the preseason game with the Colts, I don't know. I'm not sure that the Giants' defense is going to really shut down the Cowboy offense. Now, I know you can rattle Romo. Romo throwing an interception or fumbling the ball to our defense is almost
all right, Stephanie, now Stephanie, I got to interrupt you here because it sounds like you're talking to us from about 10 feet underwater, and I'm sorry about that because there's obviously a technical problem with your line. We very much enjoyed your call. There was a lot of insight in that call. And it was very entertaining as well. And I really want you to call back as many times as you can during the season. But we got to ask you to make sure you're on a better phone line because that was breaking up kind of bad. Anyway, her point about Darrell Scott is interesting because, as you said, he's probably going to get some chances in this game. Quite honestly, his experience puts him ahead of Michael Cox on the depth chart in terms of getting into the Giants' backfield on Sunday night. I think the Giants will use as many max protection schemes as possible and double tight end schemes as possible when they're in obvious passing downs so as to not put any of their running backs in a situation where they've got to be desperate to pass protect. But nonetheless, there will be opportunities for all of these running backs to step up and do what they need to do. And they're going to have to be up to the task. Or, again, you're talking about a guy like Sean Lee or a guy like Bruce Carter or a guy like DeMarcus Ware who can do some nasty things to you. So we're going to see.
201-939-4513. We continue with your calls. We're with you till 10:30 a.m. on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I believe John Schmoke and Lance Meadow are on tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Getting you ready for the big showdown in Big D. Let's go to Brian in New York.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Brian?
How are you guys doing today?
We're well. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to let me just say this. All right, the only reason why this call isn't about why don't we have a linebacker yet is because Justin Pugh is playing so well. So, I want to ask a question
time out,
about
time out,
the
time
running
out.
Back.
Whoa, Brian, give me a second here. How does Justin Pugh relate to linebackers?
No, I mean, because we should have, well, back then I thought we should have used our pick on the linebacker.
Oh, I got you. I got you. And I was really touting Ogletree myself as saying that the Giants really, if they could get a first-round impact linebacker, they should get their hands on one. But I also said, as you recall, that if they can get themselves a bona fide tackle, that that's got to be the first pick. And indeed, they got one.
I didn't think, at the time, I didn't think they had one in Pugh, but you know, I'm a believer now.
He looks pretty solid so far.
Yep, he does. He does. He's going into the position a lot faster than I thought he was gonna. But my question today is about the running backs. That new rule with the running backs, where you can't lead with the helmet anymore, I watched a lot of David Wilson highlights where he would end his runs with leading with the helmet. Can you tell me if you've seen him running higher with his face mask up now, or is that something you guys have been paying attention to?
All right, well, thanks for the call, Brian. The rule is about using the crown of your helmet or the top of your helmet, not necessarily leading so much with your helmet as a running back, but by using the crown of your helmet as a running back to bury yourself into an opponent's chest. So that's a little bit different than just leading. And so, no, I don't see David Wilson's running style changing to this point. And, we'll take a look at it because obviously the NFL is going to be very careful with that penalty.
All right, so the caller mentioned linebackers in a very roundabout way.
He did.
In mentioning Pugh, yes. But let's talk about that linebacking depth chart heading into this game. Rivers, Connor, and Paysinger are your starting linebackers. Herzlick is backing up Connor, and Jaquan Williams is backing up Paysinger. I know in camp we talked about Jaquan Williams having a real big chip on his shoulder. He wanted to be the starter. Obviously, that didn't happen. Do you feel that Paysinger really outperformed Jaquan Williams head and shoulders in preseason, Paul?
I think Williams came on strong toward the end of the preseason and started to show what he was supposed to be. Remember, last year he had that knee injury that cost him half the season, cost him even part of the early offseason this year. And so he was really behind the eight ball. I think it's very, very close between the two right now. And you'll recall also, Anita, that during training camp, we saw Perry Fuel experiment with Jaquan and Spencer Paysinger on the field at the same time in a two-linebacker sub-package set. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants expect the Cowboys to come out in a spread on their first offensive play. Now, I'm not going to tell you the Cowboys are going to throw it necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come out in a wide spread formation and the Giants, anticipating that, come out with a sub-package and Paysinger and Williams actually start the game on the first defensive snap from scrimmage. Would not surprise me at all.
Also, I want to get into the Dez Bryant-Prince Amukamara matchup.
Oh, baby.
So kind of marinate in that for a minute. We're going to go back to the calls. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on that matchup. Let's go to Charlie in Ithaca. Charlie. No? I guess we're not going to go to Charlie. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, welcome.
Okay.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, welcome.
Hey. Oh, okay. I thought you was going to talk. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. You know, I really didn't have much to say other than, you know, I think we did the right thing by, you know, making Darrell Scott the number two running back. I think he's going to shock a lot of people. You know, I'm really looking forward to what he can do. I know he hasn't really shown a lot in the last couple of years, but I just think it's a matter of opportunity. I know Coffin doesn't really like the ball touching the ground, and I just hope that doesn't get in the way of his opportunities this year. With that being said, I think Paysinger did outperform Williams, you know, during the preseason. I think he was a lot more physical and just seemed to be, more aware of what the defense is trying to do, surprisingly, considering that Williams has been here longer. And I just want to know, did you guys see that? It just seemed like, you know, Williams wasn't really sure what scheme we were running all the time.
I thought the last two preseason games, Williams really picked up his play dramatically. And I think it got very close there at the end. And if it had gone another week or two, he might have actually overtaken Paysinger. But the way it stands now, Spencer's listed as number one. I think that's okay.
Quick note here. Stevie Brown, as we know, ACL. He's having surgery today with Dr. Andrews. And a good friend of mine who used to cover this team, Jenny Vrintis, she's now under the Peter King umbrella of Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB. She's
nice lady, by the way.
She's actually writing a story. She's covering
the surgery.
The Stevie Brown surgery. So she just texted me and said that Stevie is getting prepped for surgery right now. So all of Big Blue Nation, give positive energy, positive vibes, throw them out there. Good stuff for Stevie Brown to have a successful surgery and get back and hopefully play for the Giants next season. And stay tuned for that article. I think it's pretty interesting. She's doing an article about ACL reconstruction.
Of course, there won't be anything in there that you don't know about since you've already dealt with those things.
I've had three. Yeah. They're no fun.
No.
So positive energy for Stevie Brown. Positive energy. Let's go to Charlie. Is Charlie back from Ithaca? Great. Charlie, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Hi.
Great.
Hi, that was certainly
awesome. I'm sorry, Charlie, we're having a problem with your cell phone. If you can maybe find a landline and call us back, that would be great. Let's go to Ronell in D.C. Welcome.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi.
All right. I've been calling for a while. I'm a Giants fan. I love the Giants.
Okay.
I called today because I'm finally happy that we, first of all, started playing Darrell Scott. Hopefully, he gets a lot of playing time behind Wilson.
Darrell Scott's getting a lot of love, by the way. I got to be honest with you. For a guy who barely made this team,
he always does.
People are rooting for him.
But he always does here.
I liked him when he came in.
Yeah.
He's fast.
He got a lot of flags.
I'll give
him
that.
I liked him when he came in.
He's fast.
It seemed like he never got an opportunity.
All right. What else did you have for us?
Okay. I wanted to know who you think is going to be our best linebacker. Seriously.
Best linebacker?
Yep.
Well,
most productive linebacker.
Most productive. I think over the course of the season, the guy who wants to be that man is Jaquan Williams. He's made that very clear. Whether or not it will manifest itself remains to be seen. I think that Keith Rivers is an outstanding talent who, because of all the injuries that have littered his career, has never been able to produce like he wanted to. I think he's a terrific player. And I hope for the Giants' sake that he is healthy this season and he's able to get out there and make a lot of plays. I think he's going to be one of the reasons this run defense is improved this season. And, you know, Anita, how many times did we watch him during the preseason together and say, wow, I mean, if they could only get this guy on the field, because look, he's all over the place, sideline to sideline. I mean, he has range.
Right.
Good player.
All right, let's talk about the Dez Bryant matchup. Everybody's focusing on Jason Witten, because Jason Witten actually torched the Giants last time they played.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
18 catches?
Andrew Roll came out yesterday and said, that's not going to happen again. I'll guarantee you that. But I'm more concerned about Dez Bryant than I am Jason Witten. Maybe I'm one of few. I don't know. But you've got Prince and you've got Corey Webster. And again, I talked to Prince yesterday, and before, what Perry would do is he would put Corey Webster on the legitimate number one wide receiver for the opposing offense. Not going to happen this year. So that means that there's going to be instances where Prince Amukamara is going to go up against Dez Bryant. Thoughts on Prince's game and how do you think he's going to play within that 5 yards? Is he going to get physical with him? Is he not? How do you see them playing Dez Bryant?
Well, let's make something very clear. Bryant usually lines up on the left side of the Cowboys offense, and Austin's on the right side, usually. So that means Prince, more often than not, is going to draw Dez as long as Perry Fuel maintains the left-right straight-up defensive set. I believe that Amukamara had the best summer of any Giants defensive player, and I think he's ready for this challenge. Now, I'll tell you what. Dez Bryant's got about 2 inches or so, maybe 2.5 inches, on Prince. He's also got approximately 15 pounds on him in terms of physical bulk. Having said that, Prince is a heck of a lot stronger and more physical than he was in his first two NFL seasons. We have seen a tremendous growth in him, not only mentally and emotionally, but physically. He looks like he's really cut now, reduced his body fat, his conditioning is up. He seems a heck of a lot stronger and is playing much more physical than I ever remember him playing during the course of training camp and during the preseason games. I think he's got a sporting chance to contain Dez Bryant. I really do. And this is going to be a good breakout for him. It's national television. It's opening night. And a lot of us who have seen him this summer are talking him up as finally achieving the level that he was meant to achieve as a first-round draft pick. Anita, how many times have you said to me, first-round draft pick should be good enough to start in his first season? Well, he broke his foot.
Not only start, make an impact.
Broke his foot in his first season.
I really do believe that.
Lost 10 weeks.
Right.
So his second season, he was kind of a pseudo-rookie. Well, now this is year three. And you know what? It looks like this flower is ready to bloom. I think he's going to have a really nice game. I think the Giants will help him out some. But I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised that Prince is going to be able to compete against Dez.
Concerns for Miles Austin is all.
Miles Austin is healthy for the first time in 3 seasons. He has battled hamstrings each of the last 2 years. And oh, by the way, didn't he catch like 900 yards worth of passes last year, even as an injured player? He's pretty good. Jersey guy, by the way, out of Garfield and Monmouth University. I did one of his games in college, believe it or not, on MSG. And knew then he had chances to make the NFL. I think that's going to be interesting because we who believe in Corey Webster, and I do, think he's going to have a bounce-back season, this is a great chance for him to show that he will have a bounce-back season because Miles Austin will test him. Miles Austin is a very good player. And if Corey Webster is what I think he can be again, he's going to have to do a good job on Sunday night.
And looking at the 53-man roster, Adewale Ajomo came off the practice squad and was made active, right?
Yeah. Where is that school he played from? The U?
The U, baby.
Yeah. Heard of that place. You know, Ajomo, to me, is being activated because, A, they're not sure about JPP.
Right.
And, B, they're not sure about DeMontre Moore. You know, Moore's been nursing a bruised shoulder. Jason, we all know, has got the back issue. And I think the Giants figured, you know what? Just in case we don't have one of these guys, or maybe even both of them, we need an extra defensive end on the field. And so Ajomo comes up to the 53. Andre Brown went to the short-term IR list officially yesterday. And so, you know what? If Ajomo gets in the game, watch out, Anita, because, again, this is another guy who's maybe given a golden opportunity to produce. And he better put up if he does.
And looking at some of the fantasy football stats that I do as we
get... You do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm into trends. As we get closer to the Thursday night game, one trend that I did see is that the Dallas Cowboys are very kind to opposing tight ends at home, which means that Brandon Myers could potentially have a really big game against the Dallas Cowboys. Because Victor Cruz is not 100%, again, we don't know if Victor Cruz is going to play until tomorrow. That's when the coaching staff, the medical staff really will make a decision on JPP and Cruz and Henry Hanoski. But you know how Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning, they love the middle of the field. And I really think it's going to be open for Brandon Myers. I think Brandon Myers is I see him like 90 yards and a touchdown at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I think that, you know, when you look back at some of the Giants-Cowboys games of the last several years, the Giants have usually gotten some very clutch performances out of their tight ends, whether it was Martellus Bennett or Kevin Boss or Jake Ballard. This has usually been one of those games where those guys were able to shine and to steal some of the spotlight away from the, quote, premier players on the field. So I would not be surprised.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. I know I talked about that Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles game. I came across an interesting stat here as well I want to share with you. In 2012, eight of the 12 teams that reached the playoffs won their first their season openers.
8 out of 12?
Yeah. Last year, let me read that again because I messed that up a little bit. Last year, 8 of the 12 teams that reached the playoffs won their season openers. The Falcons, the Ravens, the Broncos, the Texans, the Vikings, the Patriots, 49ers, and the Redskins. And on top of that, the 47 Super Bowl winners have gone 38-8-1 in season openers.
That latter number is a real eye-opener for me.
How about that for a stat?
Wow.
Okay. And here's interesting as well. The New York Giants' magic number in 2012 was 21. When the Giants scored 21 or more points, they were 9-0. When the team failed to reach that mark, scoring 20 or fewer, they were 0-7. Did you know that? You're shaking your head like you already knew that.
That one I knew.
Right.
But you expected that I would.
So, with those type of trends and those type of stats, I mean, it's important the Giants win this game.
Well, considering the fact that when these two teams get together, especially in recent years in Dallas, you're talking about a lot of fireworks and two teams. I don't even know what the over-under is, but that's really not my concern. They're probably going to wind up, you know, right around 30 points apiece. Whether or not you think the Giants or the Cowboys are going to win, it's not
at
all.
You think this is going to be a shootout?
I don't think this is out of the question at all that you're going to see, you know, 55, 60 points between these two teams.
So what about the Redskins and the Eagles? I mean, RG3, the announcement was made that he's going to be starting for the Redskins. Michael Vick, that Philadelphia Eagles offense, really not sure what Chip Kelly is going to bring to the table. Really excited to see what it's going to look like, how it's going to play out. Who do you think wins that game?
I'm going to go with Washington in week number one, but I think what you said about the Eagles trying to get 100 offensive snaps into four quarters is very intriguing, because I don't know any NFL team in all the years that I've been watching this game has ever come anywhere near getting 100 snaps per game. I'd have to go back into Marv Levy's playbooks when he had Jim Kelly and the Red Gun. You remember those guys? I don't think that they even came close to 100 snaps a game. They might have been in the 80s, but 100? I mean, something says to me, Anita, that may be more trouble than what he thinks it's worth. Because, remember, when you go to the line that often, that quickly, you're causing a lot of stress on your offensive linemen as well. And I'm not so sure that the Eagles' offensive linemen are going to be too thrilled about trying to hustle up there for 100 snaps a game myself. I don't know. This is a very you're right. It's a very interesting deal that we're talking about here. I don't know that anybody really knows what the results are going to be. But I will say this. I don't like the talent on the Eagles' 53-man roster. I don't think they have the talent that either the Giants or the Redskins have on their 53. And for that reason, I'm not picking them to contend for the division. This has nothing necessarily to do with the scheme. I just don't think they have enough players.
We thank you so much for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Keep in mind, tomorrow, Lance Meadow and John Schmelk will be here with you, 9:30 to 10:30, getting you ready for the big game on Sunday night. Also, the players, the schedule for today. The players practice at 11:30. Tom Coughlin does speak to the media after practice. Around 1:30, players will be made available to the media, as well as offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride and defensive coordinator Perry Fuel. You can find those interviews on Giants.com a little bit later, so make sure you tune into that. And Paul and I will be on the new MSG show, First and 10. We're going to be taping that today with Bob Papa, Carl Banks, and Roman Oben. And that airs, the first time that airs is Friday on MSG at
5 o'clock.
At 5 p.m. And I think it runs again several times leading up to Sunday.
Yes, it does.
So make sure you tune into that as well.
Good stuff.
You can follow Paul Dottino on Twitter at
Giants WFAN.
Okay. And you can follow me on Twitter at Anita Marks, and that's KS. If you have any questions and just to stay on top of all things Big Blue, we appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy week one in the NFL. And Paul and I will be back on Wednesday, 9:30, right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.